T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Moby Dick. Mark Grody with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How the hell was practice on a short week for the Bears, Grody?
Oh, man, it was a delightful day today, Danny. A nice, perfect, probably the best temperatures the Bears have had for a practice so far, about 70 degrees, a nice sunshine out there. They were back in full pads today, unlike yesterday. Didn't look like an overly exhausting practice. A lot of this is Matt Eberflus trying to manage the short turnaround in a very unique situation because it is the preseason, and that is why, by the way, we will see very little of the starters on Thursday night. We will see the starters, but probably only about 6 to 10 plays.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. What is that about? Just an unfamiliarity with the opposition, so they don't want to expose them, or
short turnaround, right?
Yeah, it's all about the short turnaround. Yeah, that's the only reason. And Eberflus had kind of given indications of that after the game the other day in terms of we'll see how we manage things. But I think that this is just one of those situations where with the short turnaround and not knowing how guys are affected by it at this point, it's just not worth it for them to give exhausting playing time to the guys that in theory they're going to be depending on to get them wins when available.
So I know Matt Eberflus didn't tip his hand then to the Cleveland game, but I am now curious because now that there's 3 preseason games instead of 4, the 3rd and final preseason game is August 27th.
Right.
The opener against the Niners is 2 full weeks after that. So it used to be the logic was you don't play anyone in the 4th preseason game because it's too close to the opener.
Uh-huh.
And you can have it. But now this is like a full bye week before the opener. So is the assumption that starters will play, you know, as if it was the old 3rd preseason game, you know, 2+ quarters minimum for the starters in preseason game number 3. Is that now the assumption?
I'm gonna doubt that he's gonna have them play that long, but I think we'll see something. Well, probably more than the Kansas City game. I was going to say something similar to that. But he talked about it in just very general terms today. Not necessarily just the Cleveland game, Danny, but just managing the entire rest of the preseason, starting with today. And I assume that would go through the Cleveland game. Is he going to manage it the way they would typically do a 3rd preseason game? I don't know. He hasn't tipped his hand on it, and I imagine he probably won't tell us a thing about it until probably the Thursday before that Cleveland game. But it's got to be more than the Kansas City game. But I can't imagine that they're going to put those guys out there for very long, even in that game.
Hmm. Okay. He strikes me as a guy who's going to play people in the preseason with a young, inexperienced team. And if they don't get a scoring drive in this one drive that they're going to get against Seattle, and the first team offense is 0 for the preseason, I bet you he plays them a decent amount.
I think you're right.
In that Cleveland game. You guys all know I would play him none, and I wouldn't care about it.
I think I bet he plays him at least a half.
Yeah, that would be my lean also.
Right, maybe even like, you know, meet at halftime, make the adjustments, come out for that
first drive of the third quarter. Well, that was like the old school typical playbook for how teams used to run the third preseason game.
Sure. I'd like to see it. I would like to see it, and I think that they need it. We just don't know how Matt Eberflus does business yet. And he did say, what was unique relative to the previous regime, and this is not denigrating the previous regime, but that he did say from the beginning when asked, I think it was by Brad Biggs a few weeks ago, you know, how are you going to handle the starters? And he said, we're going to play them. So that was
right.
Different from the way Matt Nagy approached it. But I still wouldn't, I don't know, I'm just cynical. I wouldn't be surprised if it's less than you guys think on August 27th, but we'll see.
Is anyone complaining on or off the record about having to go to Seattle on a short week for a game that is on ESPN with their second-rate Monday Night Football crew on a Thursday?
the vibe of that is, hey, this is football. This is, you know, this is part of the schedule. This is the way it goes down. So nobody is actually saying, man, this sucks and this is ridiculous and give us a break on the, you know, as far as the schedule is concerned. But it, you know, that they're thinking to themselves, this is ridiculous and this is not ideal. And guys are probably, you know, quote unquote, not looking forward to it. But they have not made a big deal out of it.
Mark Grody, Roquan Smith is going to be among those Bears getting on a plane and going to Seattle so we can not play there as opposed to not playing here. Is Saint Omni invited onto the team plane as well? Everybody talking about Saint Omni up there or just us down here?
Well, no. The buzz has made its way to Lake Forest, Beegs, believe it or not, as Saint Omni's name has popped up. I just think that the whole thing has turned into amateur hour for Roquan Smith. And I'm on record as saying that I think he's been pretty shrewd about the way he's handled being, you know, essentially his own agent up until this stuff. Because it's this mystery man, it is being joked about as it should be, and it's, you know, is he going out of bounds doing this stuff? It's crazy. But Roquan Smith did end up being at the second half of the practice yesterday. He was nowhere to be seen yesterday. I actually did not see him with my own eyes today, but apparently he showed up at, you know, the second half of the practice, and I will trust my colleagues on this one that he was out there and watching the practice. But today was another opportunity for us to ask Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears, about everything that has been going on with Roquan Smith. Here it is.
Well, obviously I knew that question would come up, and really I don't have anything. All I can say is that it is where it is right now, and we're day to day. Is he in the building? Yes. Is he engaged? Yes. Next thing I would say that when he practices, I'm not going to say when that is, when he does, he will be made available to the media, is what I understand.
Is he traveling to Seattle?
Yes.
You have to oversee how much of your day goes into checking in with him or Ryan on the situation.
I'm not going to get into all that, but certainly I have conversations with all the players, and I have conversations with Ryan, you know, multiple times during the day.
How much does it matter to you as a head coach and as a prospective head coach, does it matter to you that he is on board or that there might be a fracture between him and the organization?
Yeah, I would just say this with all the players. You're always working on relationships, and I know I say that a lot, but it's so important, you know. So it's with Roquan and any other player. So it's important to keep the relationship and communication open and on the table, and that's what we're trying to do day to day with all of our players.
Do you feel good about that with Roquan, with the relationship with Roquan?
I do.
Matt, I think it's been a week now since he was taken off of PUP. Has there been team discipline for him refusing to practice?
Yeah, as always, we're not going to discuss team discipline. You know, so if we discipline a player or find a player, all that, we're not going to discuss that up here with the media or with the public. It's going to be in-house, internal.
Yesterday there was the memo sent about, you know, a person contacting other teams. Is it to the point where it's a distraction for your team?
I see the guys are focused. I see that they're ready, like I said, focused on Seattle, focused on our first road trip together, and wired in that way.
He doesn't strike me as a guy terribly distracted. He seems very, you know, my team's on the floor, football-y, Coachy McCoacherson. Grody,
I do feel that from him, and I think a lot of football coaches take that mentality. Like, if you're not here, love you, but you're not helping us, and I'm going to move forward, and we're gonna go on like you're not coming back. Of course, Matt Eberflus would prefer to have Roquan Smith playing will linebacker for his team once this season gets going, but. Yeah, he is not, Danny, to your point, ever been emotional about Roquan Smith and this scenario. Obviously, you heard what he just said, and for the most part, preferring to leave the heavy lifting to, justifiably, Ryan Poles and those that actually handle the negotiating and not even wanting to say whether or not he was fine. But no, he has been unemotional about Roquan Smith.
Mark Grody, on the field, Tevin Jenkins is playing right guard. He played two games there at Oklahoma State, and the offensive line coach Chris Morgan said, quote, he's got great size, he's got good strength, smart football player. Those are all things you want inside that translate inside. Is it possible Tevin Jenkins is a fit for this team as a starter week one at right guard?
It is possible, and to get people caught up, yesterday we saw him with the second and third stringers playing right guard. I was still skeptical about it when I was talking to you guys yesterday, but things took a new twist today, and that is Tevin Jenkins was playing right guard with the first team today, and Matt Eberflus talked about Tevin Jenkins, and is he a right guard?
We kicked him inside, and he's been there for a couple days, right? And he's doing a good job. And we're excited to see where he goes from this forward. And we'll see how it goes. And this is another combination that we have. We're looking at it, and we'll go from there.
Will he work with the ones in Seattle?
We'll see. You'll see when they line up.
Regardless.
Yeah, because we're still working through all that right now. Yeah, we got time.
Someone kind of given his situation right now, though, that would go beyond the 6 to 10 plays to evaluate him at that right guard position.
Like any position, you know, if you're not, you know, an experienced guy at your position, we're going to try to get you a little bit more. And that's really at any position. We're going to try to get that. You know, those guys really don't have a limitation. You know, they might be, some guys are capped at 20, and some guys don't have a limitation. They can play as much as we want them to.
He has so little football or NFL experience. Does that make it harder or easier for him to learn a new position?
I don't know. He's Tevin's smart. He's very smart, very athletic player. You know, and like, you know, one of my mentors said this, and I believe this, and he ingrained it into my mind, is that you never put a ceiling on a player. Okay, let him do his thing, because some people mature and grow at different times. And all of a sudden, they just grow into a player, you know, and grow into a really good NFL player. And that's for any position. We're never going to put ceilings on guys. We're always going to think the best for every player. That's, you know, the sky's the limit for you. And we're coaching every single player on the roster that way.
Have you seen Tevin grow up just in the time you've coached him?
You know, I've gotten to know him more as a person, as a man. And we're just excited where he is. You know, and to me, he's growing just like a lot of the young players are.
You know, it's an obvious question, and his answer is the obviously correct one, but it is still good to just get him on the record that if Tevin Jenkins starts and he said, hey, the starters are going to play 6 to 10 plays, that doesn't necessarily apply to all of the starters.
Right.
Tevin Jenkins could play 30 or 40 plays,
yeah.
And
yeah,
Justin Fields plays 6 or 10. Like, that's just a good thing to get out there beforehand so people don't start freaking out. Oh, I thought he was only going to be 6 to 10. Like, each guy is going to be evaluated differently.
Absolutely. And I think that that was his way of saying that, yeah, you could see a boatload of Tevin Jenkins playing.
Good.
And why not? Yeah, right. Why not? Why not? I mean, if you are going to preserve your starters, and we don't get a longer look at Braxton Jones, which quite frankly I would still like a much longer look at Braxton Jones, who we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, I mean, Tevin Jenkins, go play for your life. You know what I mean? Like, this, he's got more like it to that's what we're looking at for this game. There's going to be guys making and not making the roster based on this second game. And Tevin Jenkins, he's not one of those guys who I think is on the bubble still, but I do think he's got a ton to prove to those guys.
Well, let's get to Cody Whitehair talking about Braxton Jones, because this is what I've been waiting for. Cody Whitehair, for better or for worse, that is the veteran old salt of this offensive line with the most NFL experience.
Other than Riley Reiff.
Yeah, true. But he's going to be playing next to Braxton Jones. So let's hear what he thinks about him, Gross.
Yeah, and I think that Cody Whitehair was the perfect guy to talk to Spiegs about this because of being a veteran. You know, Cody Whitehair's 30 years old. He has seen a lot now and understands what a good or bad or average offensive lineman is. And this is what he said about the rookie Braxton Jones today.
Braxton is going to be a good player. The way he studies, the way he understands stuff. He's very athletic. He's got great length. He uses his hands well. So I really like where Braxton's at right now. He's only going to continue to grow, and I'm really excited to see that growth.
Strikes you about how quickly he's earned the confidence of somebody like you who's been in the league for 7-8 years.
Obviously, he's a young player, so he's still learning. But I guess the way he cares, the way he works, you can tell the kid really wants to be a good player. And that's all you can ask for as a guy that's an older guy in this league. You want somebody to put in the work who cares and is going to help the team grow. And that's what he's done. And I'm really excited to see where he goes.
Are you surprised by that? I mean, that's rare for a rookie fifth rounder to have those attributes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think our department did a really good job of finding him. They knew what they were looking for. And, you know, I think they found a good one in him.
I mean, I hope so, man. He's going to be the left tackle, and the question is going to be, is he a good left tackle compared to the left tackle options on the Bears, or is he a good left tackle compared to left tackles in the NFL? We still do not know that.
Right, because you know what? That's one of those positions that it's really tough to let the guy take his lumps during the season. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you
don't want to. Justin Fields will have his lumps.
Right. It's a very fine line because, you know, I understand you want your young players to play and you want them to develop and you want them to be able to have obstacles and you want them to be able to fail, but not really when it's your left tackle. So that's the only thing I get worried about. And this also, guys, I think comes down to really trusting. Like, okay, Ryan Poles selected this guy. This is the guy that when they drafted him on that day, and we were talking to all those, you know, Zach Thomas and Doug Kramer, bless his heart, by the way, Doug Kramer is injured and he's on IR, but, and all of the young offensive linemen, we all want, okay, which one of these guys is the class of this class of lower round offensive linemen? And the chosen one is Braxton Jones. So we just, I was going to say, we just have to trust. No, you don't have to trust Ryan Poles if you don't. But he's sort of saying, trust me, I know he's a fifth rounder, all that stuff. This guy's the real deal.
Hey, Mark, you mentioned that Doug Kramer went on IR. Poor guy. And I saw that among others who got cut, it got waived, John. They waved the guy named John. John,
yes.
He made a catch on the opening drive. Justin Fields threw it to John. So John is gone. Maybe Bob is next, or Bill is next to sign on. But I'm sad for John.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. You're right, Spiegel. I'm glad that you brought this up. You know, Rice and John, yes. Mm. The big. And what stood out about Rice and John, very tall man, but he is no longer with us. They also...
He's no longer with us.
When I say us, I mean the Bears.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Got it.
Rice and John is alive and well.
I knew what you meant. I understood.
I know. I actually understood the park. Taking the easy pickings there too, because
I would have too.
I respect that. I do.
Mm. All right, Jaquan Brisker, star of the game. What'd he say today?
Oh, the Brisker. I had a little chat with Brisker about how he goes about business and hitting and where that all comes from and loving to play safety. And he starts this cut here talking about where his love of safety came and high school and all of that. So here is Jaquan Brisker.
My junior year of high school, maybe like third or fourth game when, you know, my coach had moved me to safety and I had watched my brothers from previous years. And I knew you know, what the safety position was about. And then eventually, my first play when I just came downhill, that's when I really embraced it.
You like to get dirty, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah, definitely. I like to hit hard.
That said, you have to be careful, though, with all the how closely the NFL watches those hard hits these days.
I'll say just, you know, keep your eyes up and proper tackling. So it's not really being careful. It's just keep your head out of the game and really not hitting too much high.
Why do you like hitting? Does it send a message to the team? What is it?
Just as part of the game. Just, you know, where I come from, you know, football is just a hard-hitting game, just old school. It's physical, so I'm just used to really just hitting. And then, you know, come from my city, that's what we do. You know, get the crowd to go, ooh. That's what you really want.
Yeah, that feedback from the crowd. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the feedback. So just getting the crowd to go, ooh, and that gets your teammates. That gets the energy going around the building.
Are you as comfortable as you appear to be?
Yes, I am. You know, I just can't, you know, be a rookie, especially in this defense. You know, I really got to be ahead. So every single day. So just coming in, you know, just staying focused. And then, you know, we're also competing at the same time. So I don't, you know, want to be looking over and like, that's that person. But at the same time, I really, you know, got to play.
I like Jaquan Brisker.
How can you not?
I like him too. Did you say you like to be dirty? Is that what you said? Is that what you said to him? I think you said that, Grody.
Like to get dirt. Oh, yep. I did say that. Yes, I did. I did.
Just
yes.
Saying, when Tanny gets back, it might be useful.
Yeah, just I guess so you know. That could be taken in any way, shape, or form. Again, that's true. You're on me today, Danny. Danny, you're on to me.
Well, you said you're the police of the score.
You are the police of the score. You are on your game, sir.
Thank you.
You are on your game.
Thank you, sir. You're not going to Seattle, correct?
I will not be going to Seattle. That is true. Yeah, as it turns out, you know, I complained earlier. I was like, man, I really want to go to Seattle. Because it's like I've been to every city, like sports city from all my travels with the Cubs and the Bears. I've never been to Seattle.
Yeah,
but you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm all right. I'm okay. As long as I travel during the regular season, I'm fine.
Any delicious Bears nuggets?
Of course. I've got a few for you. I've no an observation. I have noticed that Justin Fields has been having a lot of success using the middle of the field lately, which is very encouraging in practice. We've seen it. We saw it in the game the other day a little bit, but especially in the last couple of days worth of practice, the Bears were in full pads today. We mentioned the Doug Kramer news. He's on IR. Tajay Sharp, Byron Pringle, Thomas Graham were among those that were not practicing for the Bears. Bears also waived Michael Joseph, who's been around for the last couple of years, Jason Stanley, Javon White, a couple of other guys that have been waived as well. And I do believe that is all, gentlemen. Bears.
Good stuff, Grody. Bears, we'll talk soon, buddy.
Bye, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.